Welcome to Migrant in Business Pod, the Migrant Entrepreneurship Podcast series powered by Euclid Network. In this episode, you will learn how to overcome cultural barriers. When you are starting a business, it's important to register at the Chamber of Commerce, open a bank account, write a business plan, you name it. These all seem logical steps to us, but can be quite complicated for migrants who don't only face language barriers, but also cultural barriers. What difficulties do migrant entrepreneurs encounter when they start their business, and what are the solutions? My name is Annette van Soest, and I'm joined by Noemi Mena, expert on migration and intercultural communication, lecturer at Erasmus University, and co-founder of Restarter. Welcome.
Thank you. Welcome.
Noemi, as an expert on migration and intercultural communication, what are the biggest intercultural challenges you would say for migrant entrepreneurs?
I think when we talk about migrant entrepreneurs, first of all, also you need to, when you live in a country, you really need to know the rules of the game. You really need to know what is important in the context of business, what is also important in the context of communication. And of course, barriers can be also in the higher level, in the level of the market, the business, the banks. You mentioned about when you ask for a loan to a bank, when you ask for investors. But at the same time, in an interpersonal level, you need to know how communication works. And that's something I think one of the challenges that sometimes we take it for granted, that when you learn the language or you go to a country and we are talking English, but still that we are talking the same language doesn't mean that we are communicating. Communicating is that when I'm talking or I'm expressing myself, you understand what I mean. And sometimes communication is really a challenge because maybe we are saying something in the same way, but you understand something different. And I also would like to talk about non-verbal communications and some other really codes that are also part of business, right? Sometimes when you have a meeting, some people are more formal or informal in the way you dress up or in the way you talk. And I think in some countries, people are more used to have a very formal business meeting. And in some countries, for example, in some countries in more the north of Europe, it's more informal in the setting. But of course, it's formal in the way you talk. Or you need to prepare. You need to have a business plan. And in that sense, it's formal. But for example, the way to dress up, in some countries, you need to have a business suit. It's somehow more, you don't go with jeans, for example, to a meeting. So it's interesting to see how these small things in the way we express that you are an expert, and then the way you look like, the way you dress up, in some countries, in some cultural backgrounds, you really need to dress up like a business person. And in other countries, what you really need to do is to have a good business plan on paper that sounds like you really did your homework.
So you have to know the rules of the game to play the game, but there are a lot of different rules on a lot of different levels, as you already explained. How do migrants get to know those rules?
That's a very good question. I think, first of all, you need to know business people who are working in the country, who can maybe a mentor or coach you, or you also need to observe. I think observation skills are very important. Adaptation and flexibility, you need to observe how people behave in a business meeting, how people also talk, how people prepare, also the business plan, and then observation. But of course, for that, you need to interact with other business people from the country who can help you to navigate and to learn these rules of the game.
And you have to mirror what they do.
Basically. Exactly. You want to be successful in negotiation and also agreements in business. If you really try to somehow copy, imitate in the best way, the best practices, you really need to learn how to do that.
Also, something totally different for migrants, trust. Trust can be an issue if you have fled an unsafe environment. You don't trust the government. You can't trust the government. And then you come to a country, a European country, where there are a lot of formalities. You have to register, for example, the Chamber of Commerce. You have to go to a bank and you have to trust the government. Is that also a barrier that you see as such?
Sure. As you mentioned, depends on the cultural background, but some people come in we could mention African countries, also some countries also in the Middle East where the government is there but is not always helping in business or not in the best way. You really need to know someone. So the thing about trust means that sometimes people also find two things. One, the way we build trust in different cultures is different. So in one level, we can say that trust is because of your experience. If you have a positive experience with the government, with the bank, with other companies, you may be more able to talk about this. But in some countries, you also build trust by relationships. So I need to really get to know you. You need to be my friend, or you need to be really like a friend of a friend, or someone knows you, so then I trust you. But in this context of Europe, basically, you really need to go through all these market organizations, and also it could be basically in the context of entrepreneurs, you need to contact an incubator, a bank, the government.
Those are all institutions, and you cannot build trust by knowing someone there.
Exactly.
You cannot, knowing a friend of a friend doesn't always work here.
Exactly. So these protocols of contact these institutions, the institutions that actually you need to have these agreements, you really need to work to with them in order to have your business. Even if it's your own business, you really need to have very good relationships, but in the relationship in a business way, with people who are formal, professional, but doesn't mean they're your friend. And also, something important in this context of building trust, one of the things I think is a challenge, in some countries you build trust by long meetings, having going for a coffee, going for a meal, and here in Europe, in general, you have a business meeting, you have 50 minutes, and in 50 minutes you really need to really prove yourself that you have a good project, and then maybe sign the contract.
But still, there are some differences in Europe as well.
Of course.
I mean, in Northern Europe, business is different than in the South. You are from Spain. What were the biggest culture clashes that you encountered when you moved to the Netherlands?
Okay, that's a very good question. And I'm going to say something positive and something that is a bit of a challenge. Let's say that, right? I think one of the biggest challenges is also the concept of time. Because the concept of time is interesting to see that... Well, there is also stereotypes about being late or being on time. I think in general in South Europe people are more flexible with time, but if you make an appointment, you go.
But you go like a half an hour late.
No, not exactly. I think, okay, there's also stereotypes about mañana.
Flexible timing, it means you could be a little late.
You could be a little bit, but you will probably go. But one of the things that I'm sure is different, and I think it's a challenge, is that the planning here with your agenda, you really planned for next month, the next month, and the holidays next year. And in general, in South Europe, you plan for tomorrow. So maybe we made this appointment yesterday, and then I'm here today. So that is like a long-term planning is much more complicated because somehow the mindset is more doing things in the moment or as close as possible as today. And that's something planning long-term is more difficult. And in the context of business, many times you really need to have a good plan. You need to have an investment for, you know, like the next 2 years or the next 5 years. So in the context of planning, I see a big difference between South Europe and North Europe, and that is a big challenge in business.
But was it a challenge for you as well?
Well, yes, it is. It is a
challenge. Or is it still a challenge? Maybe?
Well, I had to say that something I also see that there is something positive about being able to improvise and be flexible. Mm-hmm. In the context of business, you also, when you go to a meeting and then you are more open to meet new people, I may have an appointment with you. But I'm also more open to talk with everyone. So yesterday I went to an event. So in this context of being networking and social skills also is something very important in business, right? Making connections, social skills, and connecting with people. So in that context, being in the moment, be that you are more open to connect and be there. But of course, you also need to have in mind that actually here you need to plan. And then if you plan something, you may really say, do what you say.
Yeah.
And think about it before you say yes.
If you're doing business with each other, the migrant entrepreneur and the host country, then both parties have to be flexible. Because to put this in context, we had planned today to record this podcast with someone else here, a migrant entrepreneur from originally Liberia. He didn't show up. So that's an example of exactly this concept of time challenge. Is it something you encounter often because you also mentor refugees yourself?
Yes, I think understanding the concept of sign, it is a challenge because it's on the mindset of the way people, you organize your life, right? So this is, I think, the concept of time, hierarchy and formality. I mentioned formality before because I think it's also important in business. And hierarchy, I think here is also something that we are here in a round table and we are talking as in that context. But I think sometimes the concept of time, people coming from cultural backgrounds where, well, we meet whenever we find time, but time is open, it's flexible. I think it's important to really communicate and train people from different cultural backgrounds to see that actually you book time for me today, so I need to come because you booked this time for you for me. So that is important. And I think sometimes the miscommunication and misunderstanding that maybe we think the other person doesn't care, but maybe the other person is also working with refugees who actually for them, what happened today is more important than an appointment I make a month ago. So this is something I'm trying to understand. And I think it's a very good point that you mentioned that we both need to be flexible. We all need to adapt. And somehow in this sense, we need to have more conversations about this topic. What are your expectations? What are my expectations? And how we can find the middle way.
Okay, but how open and flexible is the system for migrant entrepreneurs in Europe?
The system, actually, what we say, the rules of the house are the ones that are here. So basically, access to entrepreneurs for also in the context of basically, for example, if you come from a country where diplomas are not that important, here they are very important. So the system is not flexible. You may have a lot of experience, you may have your own shop or your own business in your own country, but here you need to prove yourself, you need to have a diploma. Also, you also need to, the system also has some rules, also procedures, deadline. If there is a deadline today, you cannot send the application for funds tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. You really need to send it today. So in that sense, like capital incubators, diplomas, all the legal structure rules, that is not flexible. There are really, you really need to know that in order to really ask for a loan or other kind of needs that you may have.
You are a lecturer, as I said, but you also founded your own mentor company, Restarter. Can you explain how it works in short?
Yes, actually, it's interesting to mention that we start thinking, well, actually, we organized basically business meetups to connect refugees with entrepreneurs and also business. But then we realized that we need to go a step back, actually, because of this topic we are talking about the intercultural barriers in an institutional level and also in an interpersonal level. What I mean is that when we organized this business meetup to connect with people, we realized that some people were ready to work, but they were what they wanted to do, basically they were not trained for that. So we realized that training...
They were not trained for...
For example, for finding an incubator plan, for writing your own business plan, for planning your plan, right? For also some of these diplomas, they were not, you need to study. And some of them, they need to study here to have a diploma, because here you need a diploma for anything and everything. It can be opening a restaurant or even if you cook falafel or anything that you do, you kind of need to prove yourself that you can really manipulate food or all these kind of things, right? So you need to go to do these steps. So we realized that mentoring and coaching was a very good way also to help people with the network, because also when you go to a new country, you don't have a network, and it's always good to have someone who is an advisor, a local, who can help you to navigate the system and also help with the networking.
How do you get in touch with these people?
That is also not easy because people don't have a lot of time, but there is some people that, there is nowadays a lot of people who want to volunteer, also want to help others to really be successful. So actually through our network, and it is true that sometimes it's a challenge to find professional coach or mentors. We do usually another way is to do a training. So what we offer intercultural communication, because actually you work in business and you want to do training in intercultural communication to work in an international company, on an international team, it is quite expensive. So we actually offer that as an exchange. We ask people to volunteer with us and be a mentor and also help a refugee to write their CV or also write their business plan.
Okay, so that's how you find the coaches. But how do the refugees end up with your program? So how do they know that Restarter exists?
Well, actually, something that is really interesting with refugees, actually, of course, social media works. Actually, many refugees also use Instagram, Facebook. But I have to say that also the community, the networking, you know someone, this person tell to their friends. And that's something, actually, we have actually an event, and they say, oh, I'm going to tell my friends. It's like, would you like to come to my house? I can invite like 10 people. And then they will really like to have this possibility to have a mentor.
What was your personal motivation to start this company?
I think my personal drive is inclusion, because I think when you go to a new place, you need to find your place. And I think sometimes it is not that easy, because you need connections, you need to understand the system. And I think sometimes you need to feel welcome. And I think it's always a challenge to really find your way by yourself. So you have someone who mentor and help you to do that, it's much easier. And I think also in business, you always need to have a networking and connecting people. So actually my drive was connecting people and also help people to integrate or connect and feel included.
Did you have a support system? Did you have a network of friends or mentors or intermediaries when you came to the Netherlands? Or was that something that you missed?
Yes, well, I think it's also, it's maybe also the reason why I started this. I do have connections. I did study a little bit here. So also when you're a student, it's easier to make connections. That's really true. And I think that is maybe also one of the challenges when these people come here to work or come here as a refugee. Because when you're a bit younger, when you're in your 20s and then you go to university, you have a lot of time to go for a coffee or a beer. So somehow you become friends and that network stays. But it's true when you go to a country just to work, and then you start from scratch, it's much more difficult, because where do you go to meet these business people? Every business person is so busy with their agenda that they don't have time for a coffee, right? At least there is a business plan. Okay, so that is also, I think, is that you always meet people who have this idea. So actually, I'm working in this project with a lady who used to work in the Middle East, and then we have a coffee one day and say, and sees that and say, well, we used to live in the Middle East. I actually did some projects in Jordan, in Lebanon, and also in Jerusalem. And actually, we have a coffee and say, well, we are here in the Netherlands. These people who used to meet in Lebanon and Jordan from Syria are now here. They are looking for work, and actually work, we think, is the best way to integrate and connect with locals. So let's start this project. And she told me, I'm serious about this. Like, well, I'm serious too. So then we start the foundation. I think 2 months after this coffee.
Okay, and you have mentored people yourself?
Yes.
What's the biggest success story that you can share with us? Well, like someone that came here, you coached them, and they now have a thriving business.
Well, I would like to tell that story, but I think it's a longer process than that. I think it's somehow, this is something interesting to talk about, because sometimes we really want to see immediate success. And I think the process of connecting and the process of really, all the steps that you need to do to really start a business is a longer process than if you're a local. But at the same time, I think the process of integrating or connecting, it starts with also feeling that you understand the system, feeling that you can also sometimes go back to study. So I know some people also that then, okay, make a connection with the university, and now this person is actually in a program. So for example, a preparatory year for refugees to study. So then, because somehow if you have a diploma from here, it will open many doors. So that was also something about monitoring and helping some refugees to actually study at the university, because that will open doors for the next step that will immediately much easier to have an internship and find work. But we did help some people to connect and have a mentor, but it's not that easy to find work. But actually with IT people, I had to say yes, but I had to say it was not really us. It's actually people who have IT skills and are young. They really like entrepreneurs. That's very easy. But you just introduce to someone, and that is already that is very easy work.
If you are into IT, then that opens a lot of doors, because there's also a shortage of people in that business, right?
Exactly.
Everywhere. What's the most important thing about being a mentor? What qualities do you need to have?
You need to listen. Yes. I think you need to listen because especially coming from Europe and our Western mind or the way we actually interact with people, sometimes we are very used to tell people what to do. And in the context of we think we know, first of all, we think we know. I think you also need to be humble. And I think somehow, okay, we may know the rules of the game because we are from here and we can help people to navigate. But at the same time, it's their own project. So we need to listen. What is your project? What are your ideas? And also when you come from a different cultural background, what I think is also business people need to consider, to have a partner or to work with someone from a different cultural background, something is very interesting is about thinking outside the box, innovation. And I do think that, so in that sense, when you are a mentor, you need to be open to listen and also try to help this person to succeed in the in this particular cultural context with all the practical things that we mentioned. But at the same time, you really need to empower this person to do their project, because I think sometimes I experience also that our way of working, it has somehow this idea, okay, we know. And then coming from some cultural backgrounds, people are less assertive. And I think in this
You have to be careful not to impose yourself.
Exactly, yes.
Onto them.
Yes, not to impose yourself. And that's why I mean listening. Listening means much more than only hear what you say. It's also see that, okay, this is your idea. I'm going to try to help you to really do this project and that you do your best.
To wrap it up, your top three tips for migrant entrepreneurs that want to start their own business, not especially in the Netherlands, but in Europe.
First of all, I think you need to adapt and be flexible in a context that is not that flexible, but is your first step of learning the rules of the game and trying to understand the culture is very important. I think second, I will consider the adaptation and the concept of time and planning that is very important for Europeans, but especially for business and for applications to anything, all the bureaucracy that we have in Europe. Sorry about that. But it's like all the paperwork. I think in general, we all have to do a lot of paperwork for all our jobs, right? So then something about paperwork, you really need to do the paperwork because without paperwork, it's very hard to go anywhere. It is boring, but it really opened doors. So I think it's like, do your homework with paperwork. That will be the second. The third one will be like, connect. Try to meet people, try to meet locals, because people also can really help you to connect, to understand the culture, and to open doors in business, but also in integration in a personal life, because you also need that, right? So I think connecting and networking, it works. It also works in this part of Europe. I was surprised that it's like something I think is also interesting to see how you met someone and that is that person trusts you and that can also open doors.
Thank you so much, Noemi Mena. If you want to know more about European training and coaching programs, you can go to linktree.euclid and that's L-I-N-K linktr.ee/euclid EUCLID for a list of useful websites. Thanks for listening to Migrant in Business Pod, the Migrant Entrepreneurship Podcast series powered by Euclid Network. See you next time.